Hello, lovely people. Wonderful Wednesday to you. It's your boy, Coy. Grateful to be spending part of our day right here with you on CNN 10. You know, sometimes when tragedy strikes, it can serve as a reminder that we should never take any of the moments we're given for granted. We're starting with an update on the earthquake that has shattered families in Turkey and Syria. The 7.8 magnitude quake had taken the lives of more than 36,000 people as of the time of this show's recording. Tens of thousands more are injured. The latest report from Turkey's health ministry said more than 19,000 people were hospitalized with injuries sustained from the disaster, and more than 1,000 children in Turkey were separated from their parents. More than a week now after the earthquake struck, and rescuers are still working around the clock in hopes of saving lives. Seven more people were rescued from the rubble yesterday, but hopes of finding further survivors dwindle with every second that passes. The reality is that survival stories are becoming few and far between as rescue operations start to shift to recovery efforts. And for many in Syria, the earthquake is just the latest in a decade-long series of tragedies. In recent years, the country has been torn apart, and 1.7 million people are living in tents and refugee camps. CNN's Neda Bashir is in Istanbul, where a massive effort to send aid is currently underway.
Well, a week on since Turkey was struck by that devastating earthquake on Monday, and aid centers like this one here are still being filled with volunteers, with donations to be distributed to those impacted by the earthquake. And as you can see here, boxes and boxes are being filled up with life-saving humanitarian assistance and crucial donations for those impacted by the earthquake, from clothes, blankets, to toiletries, anything that someone who has been made homeless, displaced by the devastation, could need in order to survive over the next few weeks. And there are aid centers like this one. You can see the sheer scale of this hangar where the aid donations are coming in. There are centers like this across the country because, of course, as we are still seeing the death toll rising and we are still seeing, miraculously, survivors being pulled out of the rubble, this is now becoming more of a recovery effort than a rescue effort. And there are, of course, thousands and thousands of people, families, extremely vulnerable now, desperately in need, hugely dependent on that humanitarian assistance. We've seen aid groups from across the globe traveling into Turkey to support in that effort. And here in Istanbul, it's not just the international aid that's coming in. It is Turks. It's people from this country piling into centers like this one to provide those donations. There is a real sense of unity here. People really want to help. And of course, there are so many in need. The question, of course, also now relating to northwest Syria, getting aid across the border there through the Bab al-Hawa crossing. There has been some logistical challenges as well as diplomatic challenges in getting the aid across to northwest Syria. But that now seems to be coming through. And of course, we are also now beginning to see evacuations. People and families being evacuated from the impacted southeast region of Turkey to even here in Istanbul, where they will be sheltered over the next few weeks. Many of them, of course, now displaced, homeless, with nowhere else to go.
10-second trivia. Girl with a Pearl Earring is a famous painting by what artist? Johannes Vermeer, Leonardo da Vinci, Vincent van Gogh, or Michelangelo? Often compared to the Mona Lisa, Johannes Vermeer painted Girl with a Pearl Earring in around 1665. That painting is now part of an unprecedented show at the Rijksmuseum in Amsterdam. The museum is putting on the largest showcase of Vermeer paintings in our lifetime. 28 of the artist's 37 attributed works are on display. Even Vermeer himself did not see that many of his paintings together all at one time. Tickets for the event are sold out, but lucky us, CNN's Nick Glass is taking us inside the exhibit to check it out.
For a glorious 90 minutes, we had the place to ourselves. Vermeer's paintings, their beauty, their size, demand intimacy and quiet. And here was an opportunity to spend quality time with his most famous creation.
This is rare. I've been an arts correspondent for something like 20 years, and to be alone with a painting like this, Girl with a Pearl Earring, it's extraordinary. And she's not alone.
The Rijksmuseum has pulled off an astonishing artistic coup. the greatest Vermeer show of this or any other lifetime. 28 of the 34 to 37 attributed works. Vermeer himself would never have seen so many of his paintings altogether in one place.
It's very exciting. I kind of had this dream of having all the paintings together. Obviously, there are only about 37 paintings by Vermeer, but having 28 here is just something we would have never thought possible.
The lace maker from the Louvre in Paris. Girl with the red hat from the National Gallery in Washington. Girl reading a letter at an open window from the Gemälde Gallery in Dresden, Germany.
I remember that I saw for the first time two paintings by Vermeer at the National Gallery in London, and I think I fainted a little bit. There's such a glowing light in the paintings. And since then, I've been busy with Vermeer.
Vermeer has been under intense scrutiny in another way, in the lab, under infrared and other light. They've adapted specialist techniques, first used by NASA to map minerals on Mars and the Moon. It amounts to non-invasive fine art archaeology.
It's as if you're looking over his shoulder and seeing what he's doing.
We didn't know it, but Vermeer never stopped experimenting.
If you see the underlying paint layers, for example, the underpaint, he really put on kind of fast and rough brush strokes to define light and shadow. For example, in the tablecloth, you have areas where there's black underpaint, like here and here, right, the darkest shadows, and then on top where the light hits the table, he used a white underpaint.
And behind her on the wall?
Here was a fire basket, a large element to dry your clothes, and then here was a jug rack with jugs hanging on it.
We've known for a long time that Vermeer was a genius with paints and a brush, but only now are we beginning to understand how precisely he did it.
Well, the Super Bowl is behind us, and I got to meet some pretty cool people in Arizona, like Miss Lavrenz. Shout outs to Coca Palm Middle School. I also got to see Super Bowl traditions. Today's story getting a 10 out of 10, the Puppy Bowl. Year 19 of the Clash of Canines took place on Sunday, featuring Team Ruff versus Team Fluff. 122 pumped up pups from rescues and shelters across the country. This year's game was intense. Penalty flags thrown for unnecessary roughness and for excessive cuteness. For the first time ever, the Puppy Bowl went into overtime this year, and it was Team Fluff wagging their way to the win, 87-83. Today is hashtag Your Word Wednesday. Follow me at KoiWire on Insta, Snapchat, and TikTok, and put your challenge words in the comment section of my most recent post, and we're going to choose one fun one to work into tomorrow's show. The last word was floxynoxynihilopilification, which is the action of deeming something as worthless. One thing that's not an exercise in floxynoxynihilopilification is shout out time. Woodward Middle School in Woodward, Oklahoma. We see you. Thanks for subscribing and commenting on our CNN 10 YouTube channel. See you tomorrow, lovely people. I'm Coy Wire, and we are CNN 10.